Even let's go to the word of the Lord. Amen. We're going to continue in our series about servanthood. If you'll turn your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, we're going to read verse 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, God, for another opportunity to hear your word. I pray, God, that you'll just touch and bless each one. Anoint your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Just keep me in prayer. I'm feeling good. Just got this congestion. It's driving me nuts. So today in servanthood, we want to talk about the influence of a servant. The influence of a servant. You ever have anybody just make an influence on you? Come on. You ever see people hang around together and they start sounding like each other, or they laugh the same? People can influence people. Amen. And that's, you know, one thing that peer pressure is too, where others influence somebody to be something they aren't. Amen. So as servants of God, folks, we should influence other people. Amen. We should make a difference. Too often, and it's so frustrating sometimes in the Christian realm, that where the world influences the church and people leave. It should be the other way around. We influence people and bring them to us. So, when you hear this, it's talking about salt. Would you sprinkle salt in your food if it did make a difference? You see, I like salt on my apple. I like salt on my melons. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but that's how I always... And I like salt on my grapefruit. It helps take away that little bitterness sometimes. But it makes a difference. And that's why we salt. Because salt influences whatever it is put on. And a light. You walk into a room... Why do you hit the switch? Because you want the switch to make a difference in a dark room. Amen? You don't go up there and cover up the bulb after you turn the switch on because it wouldn't do any good, right? It's because it makes a difference. So we're talking here. God is saying he wants us to be the salt and he wants us to be a light into this world. But think about it, folks. In this tough, rugged, wicked world that we live in, what possible influence could the servants that are described in Matthew 5, what difference can they make? So let's look at Matthew 5 and ask and see what God wants us to be. Matthew 5, verse 3 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, folks, a lot of this goes against what we want to be. We don't want to have people And we don't want to think of blessed are those that are persecuted. We don't want to think of that. We don't want to hear that kind of stuff. We don't want to be peacemakers sometimes. Amen? What possible influence could the servant-hearted people that Jesus described in this scripture in Matthew 5, what possible influence could they have on a hard, hostile society like ours? What impact? How much clout do the poor in spirit have? How much clout, what impact do the gentle have? The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, what actually do they have? You see, such feeble surroundings, virtue seems about as influential as a pillow fight in a nuclear war. Come on. You see, especially with the odds stacking against us, servants of Jesus Christ will always be the minority. Amen? Will always be the minority. We are a very small minority surrounded by a very strong-minded majority. Can we do much good? Amen? Is it a wasted effort? Jesus never promised us, folks, that it's going to be easy. He never did. He did tell us that this is a battle zone and that there would be tribulation. Yet, he also added that the influence of the small minority would be nothing short of remarkable. Praise the Lord. The influence of his servants in society would be as significant as salt on food and light in darkness. It is an impact. It is an effect. But though neither salt nor light is either loud or extremely impressive, their presence is essential. You see, folks, because both are penetrators. You never heard your salt scream at your steak, "Now you're going to change." Right? You never turned on a light in the room and the light says, "Get out of here, dark." But it is a penetrator. It does do its work. Amen? It's not loud, but it works. You see, their absence is immediately noticeable, and their need, folks, is unquestionable. I don't like dark. I go, you know, I've been places where there are bulbs. You wonder if they're even on. I like bright. You go in my house, I got all kinds of bulbs. But I don't like hitting my toe. What? I want it lit up. If it's supposed to be light, I want it lit up. So I want it to make a difference. And I believe God does too. Their absence is immediately noticeable. If you don't have enough light, it is noticeable. And their need is unquestionable. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 13, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested to all men. Also theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose of faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto Antioch at Lyssum in Listeria, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In 2 Timothy, folks, we find these three undeniable descriptions of today's world. And one is perilous. Two is corrupt. And three is deceived. Is that the day we live in? Amen? Perilous, corrupt, and deceived. You see, in verse 1 through 7, the key word in this description is perilous. Other versions translate that word terrible or difficult. But the Greek root word means grievous, harsh, fierce, and savage. The only other use for this word in the New Testament is Matthew 8:28, where Matthew is describing two demon-possessed men as being exceeding fierce. In verse 8 through 9, the key word is corrupt. Corrupt means depraved, perverted, putrid, or perverse. Sounds like an ugly thing. But the description is the world of the world that is spiritually corrupted, unmoved by God, hard-hearted, and dark within. You see, in verse 13, the key word here is deceived. The world is full of false and hypocritical. Amen? Many abound in all areas of life, both secular and religious, which are deceived and which are deceiving others. We are indispensable influences, folks, for God. Hear me today. We are indispensable influences for God. God wants us to influence others. Will you allow God to use you? In a world that is so needy, God needs us to make a difference. Amen. We must be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in this world, He wants you to be influential in people around you. I don't want to be salt that is no good. I want to be a light that makes a difference. I pray today, amen, that you leave here with a heart that says, I want to make a difference. You see, folks, when God takes you and He sprinkles you around somebody, make sure you make a difference. Make sure that He's not wasting His time. When He takes that light that He is shining forth out of you, don't find yourself hiding somewhere and say, no, not me. Say, okay, God, I'll shine for you. Let God use you to make a difference. Amen? When Jesus speaks of the character qualities of servants, you see, folks, He uses they, their, and those. So when speaking of a servant relation and influence on society, you know what He says? You. You see, folks, it's a personal thing. In reference to salt, in reference to light, He doesn't say we are like or as salt and light. He says we are salt and light. A society characterized by savage violence and the darkness of depravity and the deception of will, without a positive influence, what it does, it deteriorates and ultimately destroys itself. You think about it, before the freezers and stuff, they used salt to preserve their food. Could you imagine walking into a cellar wherever they had it, and without the salt, what it would smell like? Well, folks, that's what happens in a world where there's no influence of salt. So if you want your world to be something to be able to withstand, you must make a difference in your world. You have to be that positive influence so that it does not deteriorate and ultimately destroy itself. We have to make a difference. And folks, it is hard in this world because there's so much of it. And it influences it everywhere you turn. And see, you can see the influence of sin on the world around us. But we must fight with everything within us to keep it some sort of sanity. And that is why we pray on our knees and ask God, Lord, help us, amen. And sometimes we stand up against all that junk that comes at us, amen, to try to make a difference. You are the salt of the earth. Salt, it is a preservative. The very presence of salt halts corruption, except on your car. Washing my car yesterday and saw a spot of rust, I was so mad. You see, and the reason I was washing my car yesterday, because all the car washes are full. Everywhere you go, there's a line. You see, salt is a healing agent. Salt aids in the body's healing process. Salt creates thirst. It increases the desire for water. Salt adds flavor. It makes the bland tasteful. It makes it inviting. But when the salt loses its saltiness, when the salt loses its preservative power, it is good for nothing. Some positive aspects of salt, folks, is salt was widely known and was an item of value in the days of the Romans. What they would do, they received salt as wages. Can you imagine that? Here's for your work all week. Take this block of salt home. But they used it as wages. The Greeks considered salt as a divine and as divine, and the Mosaic law required salt in their sacrifices in Leviticus 2. Salt was a common element used in those days for a different variety of purposes, and so people instinctively understood its benefits. It's harder for us today to understand it other than the fact that it changes the flavors. But folks, people in those days, when they had to preserve, they didn't have the refrigerators and things that we have. It was important to them. Salt was a common element used in those days. It was a variety of purposes. So salt is shaken and it is sprinkled. It is not poured. If you walk outside to salt your steps and you just poured it, you're going to leave a lot of things undone. It is shaken. It is spread. But see, too much salt is not good. So therefore, it needs to be spread out. It needs to be distributed. I have one of those, it's one of those salt shakers that I have And I like to eat apples, and there are times, you know how you have the one side where it opens up a big hole, and there's the other side where it has the little dots? Well, every now and then, I open the wrong side. And I get really mad when I pour this big blob of salt on my apple. So you got to make sure that it is spread out evenly. Because, see, if you put that big blob on there and you take a bite of it, you don't taste much apple. So salt must be spread evenly. Salt adds flavor, but it is obscure. No one comments on how good salt tastes. Oh, I went to that steakhouse, and that salt tasted so good on that steak. You ever heard anybody say that? No. No. Texas Roadhouse makes awesome steaks. I've only had to send one back one time, and it was hideous. I said, listen, folks, I love your steaks. This is terrible. Get me another. I don't know what was wrong with it, but it was bad. I don't care what salt you put on there. It would have tasted good. The salt makes a difference. You don't comment on the salt. See, so folks, you think about it. People aren't going to say how great you are. That's not what it's all about. We're there to help them put these seed things preserved, to make a difference, to change the flavor of things. Salt is like no other seasoning. It is strong and impossible to truly duplicate. Salt must be applied before it is of any use. You can set that salt next to your apple. You can set it next to your steak. You can set it next to whatever. It doesn't make a difference if it's set in there. You see, in your world, your everyday world, where you work, in your home, in your neighborhood, you don't make a difference by just living there. You've got to be spread out. Spread out to your neighbors. Spread out to your family. Spread out to your coworkers, folks. It's got to be sprinkled on to make a difference. Too often we want to just sit in our shaker. Amen? Come on. Let's be honest here today, folks. But we have to be spread out. Salt in a shaker is useless. Matthew 5:13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. See, folks, it is imperative that you are a disciple of Christ, then you ought to be a salty disciple. You see, the jurisdiction for this sort of influence is all-encompassing, talking about in the world, in the earth, and not limited to any geographical location or race or tribe or language. Salt had different interpretations in those days. You see, color-wise, the whiteness depicts purity in terms of the response salt evokes. It would bring rebuke. It would bring judgment upon evil doing, just like salt stings in an open wound. A similarity, it could create thirst for God. This is salt will bring you thirsty. Amen, folks. When we spread that salt around, people will become thirsty for God, the God that you serve. Amen. That's why it is so imperative that we spread that salt around to all those around us and make a difference. Make a difference. As far as usefulness was concerned, it would act as mature to enrich the soil. amen, as a preservative to slow down moral decay by counteracting the rampant spread of sin. And it would bring flavor to an insipid and tasteless world. Jesus may have had all these meanings in mind, I think, when he referred to his followers as salt of the earth. In Matthew 5:13, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Losing saltiness doesn't mean losing salvation, but rather losing our potency, rather losing our influence, rather losing our impact. What a terrible thing to lose your influence. You see, it's important how we act around people. Come on. Because we have to be able to influence people. We have to be able to impact our society. You see, salt loses saltiness if it is mixed with impurities. What impurities do we mix in to lose our influence? If we just go along with everybody, join the crowd, it's those impurities that come in and that salt loses its effectiveness. We have to be careful. It loses its potential. See, once impure, it is not even able to be used as fertilizer for the field. Since it becomes poisonous and corrosive, it is only used to just be thrown out. As Christians, we are called out of the impure world to be holy and set apart for God's purpose. But folks, when we mix with it again, our uniqueness, our distinctiveness, our purpose is lost. And if that is the case, then nothing can make us salty again. Christians who are unable to permeate and influence the society for good or fight against the prevalence of the growth of evil, against atrocities, against injustices, folks, are not, if you can't do that, you are not kingdom-minded. Nor are you any good to the king. If a Christian becomes disobedient, careless, indifferent, then they have lost their saltiness and are of no practical use to the kingdom of God. They are headed for the rubbish heap. So losing our saltiness makes us lose our significance, our purpose, our destiny, and our reward. So we have to stay pure. Amen. We have to live the light. The life that God would want us to live so that we can be of use to a world that needs us. Amen? You see, you do affect. You do make a difference. You know, when we say, well, it ain't nobody else's business. It is. It's God's business. He paid a price for you. Don't ever forget that. Let's look at the light. Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Note that Jesus called us what he called himself. He called us what he called himself, light. We are his servants. Shine with his light into a dark world. Amen? It is Jesus Christ that makes a difference in us. Amen? So what is the basic function of light? Light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness, and people able to see clearly in the light without groping about in the darkness. Darkness cannot remain, folks, when light is turned on. Amen? You see, the nature of light is to be is to reveal hidden things, to bring them into light. So how do we dispel the darkness? Well, as Christians, we have stepped from darkness into light. And we also have, folks, we have a responsibility to lead others to the light of Jesus Christ. Amen? Christians have a responsibility to bring the light of Christ with them wherever they go. In Matthew 5, 14 and 16, it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither doth men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. First, we cannot hide the light. Can't hide the light. Second, we cannot limit the light. A city like Jerusalem cannot be hid once it is elevated. Even in the dark, the soft glow of lamps would have collectively lit up the city and made it visible from a distance. Individual and collective efforts of Christians as light result, folks, in drawing people who are in darkness toward God. You ever walk around in the dark? You're feeling like this. You're trying not to stub your toe. What a difference when the light is turned on. So don't limit your influence on people. Sometimes we don't think of ourselves of anything, but God is telling you today, folks, not only are you salt, you make a difference, but you are light. And just think about yourself when you're in that pitch dark and you're trying to find the light switch. And somebody lights their Bic lighter. See, no matter how big the room is, the smallest light makes a difference. Come on. It makes a difference. And the devil wants you to think that you don't make a difference, but you do make a difference. God is saying, I am light. And so when you have him, you are light. You make a difference. So our individual and collective efforts of Christians as light results, folks, in drawing people who are in darkness toward God. Some positive aspects of light. Light is silent. It just shines. Light gives direction. Matthew 5, 16, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know what light does? It attracts attention. Light attracts attention. If you turn on a light in a dark room, everyone's attention will be directed at you. Well, think about it. If you will let the light of the Spirit of Jesus Christ shine in your life, people cannot help but notice and watch you. Folks, we're different. We are a peculiar people, the Bible says. So don't try to blend into the world. It drives me crazy when some of these people who call themselves Christians say, well, I think we got to be like them. Well, you want to waller in the mud puddle to be like them? No, you don't. God wants us to be different. God has always had a distinction. Amen? His people never blended in. We make a difference, folks. The Lord told the Israelites that they would give to him, that they would be a blessing to all. That they'd be different to everybody. If we live for Jesus Christ and we do the things that are pleasing to God, we will make a difference. Because light attracts. What is a lamp's purpose? To shine. You buy your lamp for any other reason? Huh? No, you buy it, you put it in a room for a reason. I want to use this as a light. I want this light to make a difference. If you went to that light every time and the bulb wouldn't come on, you would get another one. Because you want that lamp to make a difference. Understand today, folks, God wants each and every one of us to make a difference in our world. You are a purpose for Jesus Christ. And that is to make a difference. I ask you today, are you making a difference in your world? Or are you just trying to blend in? Think about it. God didn't fill you with his spirit to blend in, to look like everybody else. God saved you to make a difference. Amen? A lamp's purpose is to shine. So people don't put under a bowl. All right? You don't put that lamp in your living room and put a tarp over it. Right? You have a reason for that lamp. So you put it in there to work. It is important that we do not forget your purpose. As children of the light, we are also meant to be light bearers. Otherwise, we will be falling short of God's purpose for us. Our light should bring into view our good works, which are prompted and placed by God in our hearts. Our good works should prompt unbelievers to praise and glorify God. As Christians who are to be salt and light, we are called to do all four tasks. I'll look at some tasks here today. We are called to permeate. We ought to engage with unbelievers, but trust so as to be present, the gospel, the relativity, and the effectivity. Present that to people. Not just blend in, but be difference. We are to preserve. Our role as a Christian is to preserve goodness, kindness, morality, and to sensitize people to the evils of this world. We also have a responsibility to awaken moral consciousness. We have to make a difference to try to preserve whatever it is that we can preserve in people's lives. And we have to persuade them. We seek to convince people to convince people about the truth of the gospel and the present, and we present it with a passion and a clarity, and help them to understand there is a better way. Everything's not going to hell in a handbasket. Amen. God is still in control. He will always be in control. Just won't force himself upon people. And then we have to preserve. We rely on God for our strength. And folks, don't give up till change comes. And we do this with wisdom and sensitivity. We have to understand. Now you say to yourself, I am different. I am different. We must be different from the world. In thought, we have to be different. We can't think like the world. In word and in deed, we have to be different. And then we have to think in ourselves, I am responsible. Amen? I am responsible. We must accept personal responsibility for our salt being salty and our light shining. Well, my church makes me be salty. Puke. Come on. I'm salty because I want to be. Amen? Nobody twists your arm. Have you ever come up here and pastor twisted your arm? No. Are you salty because you want to be salty? Are you a light because you want to be a light? And I am influential. See, the mere fact that we are not like the world gives us an enormous influence. Even when we aren't trying, folks, the salt and the light of the Spirit in our lives is touching others. Salt and light, Christians would seek to make a real difference in the world for God. I pray today that this speaks to you and you go out of here determined to make a difference in the world that you're in. God is sending you to your world and saying, make a difference. What kind of a difference are you making? Folks, I believe this year God wants us to make a difference like we've never made a difference. Your pastor has said that he would want us to see, and we're believing God for a 50-plus soul revival. Are you making a difference? Are you trying to reach, help pastor reach that goal? Come on. Sister Mary Lou said she's going to try to win at least 25 of them. Come on. You need to... Anybody else going to outdo her? Come on. Well, good. You do 25. Who else will do 25? Can we get 25? Hey. Come on, folks. Are you going to make a difference? You know what will help? Your pastor said he also is looking for Bible study teachers. We need people to come and tell me, I want to be a Bible study teacher. So when people walk through those doors and say, I need a Bible study, will you teach one? Come on. So here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people in this congregation right now to tell me, I'll teach a Bible study. There's one right there. So you can text me. You can come up after service and say, I want to be a Bible study teacher. Because if they sign those papers and say they want a Bible study, who's going to teach it? Pastor? Can't teach them all. You can teach the Word of God, folks. Come on. When we see children struggling, we want to teach them how to tie shoes. We want to teach them how to put their clothes on and all these kind of things. But there are people that are coming in from the world, amen, that need to learn how to live a godly life. And we ought to be there to teach them. Amen? Let's stand here today. So we're looking for that 50-plus soul revival. We're looking for Bible study teachers. Come on. We're going to keep them only by teaching them the things of God. Amen. Only by teaching them the things of God. They don't understand how to do this. The Bible says it's not easy. So we got to teach them. Give them the word to help them. David said, he needed to know the word so he wouldn't do what? Sin. I want to hide the word so that I might not sin against thee. Without the word of God, folks, we're not going to, it'd be hard not to sin. So we need to teach new converts. Here's the word. It'll help you not to sin. It'll help you to be an overcomer. Because the word of God is true, is it not? It is sharp and powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you today, and we thank you for your word. I ask you to help each and bless each one here today as we go home. God, help us to think on this, Lord God, that we can apply it to our lives. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, come back tonight. Amen. We got a word from the Lord. Amen. Bring somebody that needs God. Come back tonight expecting to hear from the Lord. Will you do that? Amen. God bless you.